and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Festive Thursday.
It is.
We have Michael Tomasky and, of course, Jackie Schaffner live in studio.
Hooray!
For Jackie's Healthcare Corner. Oh, and also to talk about weird people from Florida, too.
Yeah.
Because Jackie Schaffner is, of course, from Florida.
Yesterday we discovered the Florida man and Florida woman Twitter feeds.
Yes.
And it's just nothing but stories about Florida men and Florida women. You know,
yes.
They always start with Florida man throws pimento loaf at cop.
Right, and then this would be my newest future wife. What's her name? She's actually named Crystal Metheny.
Yes.
And she did what now? She actually launched a...
A missile into a car.
She shot a missile into a car.
Florida woman.
Florida woman, fill in the blank.
Yep.
All right, speaking of the Twitterverse, a lot of, obviously, reaction to the political earthquake. The country has been decantered. Get it? I'm a wine lover.
Yes.
Hmm. Okay. Shock. Someone named Shock said, see, voting does work. If the low-rent hillbilly fascists of Hooterville can depose Eric Cantor, we surely can depose them. Yeah, I'm going to choose to look at it as a happy clapping thing.
I know. It's a very suburban district. It's not actually Hooterville.
Julie tweeted, another lesson from Cantor loss. GOP's gerrymandered itself into ugly corners packed with angry, delusional tea Republicans. Yeah. So we'll see how all this goes. You know who... is a very noted political strategist who might have a thing to say about this.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. WholeFightStrategies.com. So inviting to me. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine. In fact, your own personal Twitterverse exploded over the canter.
Well, I just couldn't help myself. I mean, it really could not have happened to a more deserving MF-er.
Right. You said that. You said, partisanship aside, I'll say this about Cantor. It could not have happened to a more miserable mother.
Well, by all accounts, he was kind of a bastard.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like he was, you know? It's not like he looks like a nice guy.
Well, you're joking about bipartisanship, but actually he was bipartisanly hated, is what we're told. And that he was incredibly arrogant, right?
Well, I mean, he wanted to be the next speaker. And all these times that we've talked about John Boehner having issues keeping his caucus together,
yes,
it's been because of a guy like Eric Cantor. So, you know, the person with the most conflicted feelings about this is probably John Boehner.
I would imagine. Well, I think that has been said, that he had his eyes on John Boehner's seat more than Marcus Bachmann did.
Hey.
I don't know what I meant by that.
Really?
What? But that's what they were saying, that he was, wasn't he like at a Starbucks or something, you know, with lobbyists that morning? He was so overconfident, his own polling showed him up by like 34 points or something?
Well, I mean, who's doing the Republican polling?
Right.
I have a feeling that they just look around the room and say, okay, who wants what? Although, you know, when you don't believe what the media tells you or what scientists tell you, it's not surprising that you'll believe anything that you're paying for in terms of a poll.
You know, but interestingly, Nate Silver, who, you know, was our god during the last elections, was keeping a lot of Democrats calm, and he turned out to be so accurate. He was off 20 points here, right? And you know, the one thing that gives me a sliver of happy clappy there is he's the one that's been predicting with great certainty that Democrats are doomed, right, in the midterms. But he was off by 20 points, right?
Well, yeah. At the end of the day, what's, you know, worth noting here is how universally despised Eric Cantor was in his own district.
Yeah.
He spent, you know, upwards of $5 million against this Tea Party years, like $150,000, $250,000. That is just not enough money for a Tea Partier to beat an incumbent in any district, even a competitive one. Like, if everybody was watching this race expecting it to be close,
right?
Anywhere else in the country, it would have cost millions of dollars for it to be close. But his constituents obviously just did not like him.
Well, there's a lot of different factors being discussed, Carl. I'm curious as to which ones you think were more at play here. A lot of the, there's been the Cooter issue has been raised.
Yes,
former Congressman Ben Jones, yeah. Democrat of Georgia, better known as Cooter.
No, I'm relieved that we're talking about that Cooter. That Cooter, issue, not
the Cooter from Cooter issues. From Dukes of Hazzard. Well, he wouldn't be the first politician brought down by Cooter. But my point is, Carl.
Oh, really?
That Cooter from Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes.
He wrote this open letter right to HuffPo. He urged his fellow Democrats to cross over, and we know this was an open primary. He ran against Cantor, of course, in 2002, and he was, you know, outwardly beseeching Democrats to do this, right? He wrote, voting for David Bratt in the 7th District, we Democrats, independents, libertarians can make a big difference in American politics. It may be the only way to empower those who want to make a statement about this dysfunctional Congress and politics as usual. To what degree do you think that played a
very
factor
little.
That Democrats did this, really?
Very little. I think if he was really successful, he might have been able to impact 1 or 2% of the vote.
Really?
But, I mean, this Tea Party are won by 10 points.
Yeah.
There's no if Cooter was responsible for 10% of that vote, he'd be the most sophisticated and professional, political operative in the country, and he'd be hired by everybody.
Wait a minute. Now, are you so you're going on record, Carl, as saying you are not interested in Cooter?
I've not been interested in Cooter since at least high school.
Okay.
And even then, it was tenuous.
Well, even then, it was just pretending.
He's not interested in the whole theory,
right.
The whole Cooter theory.
No, everybody else liked the Dukes of Hazzard, so I just pretended like I did, too.
You were just faking it.
Yeah.
and then, of course, you know, the other factor, which is a little closer to home, is that, Laura Ingraham and some right-wing radio hosts were the one that were behind this, so... You know, in terms of right that I mean, he like as you said, I mean that was the incredible thing is what did Cantor spend $5 million and he spent $200,000 or something?
Right, and I think they certainly did help. I think ultimately what it comes down to is in a primary race where you've got candidates like this, it really does matter what the party apparatus is doing. When Cantor basically lost control of the local party. Months ago, that was probably the writing on the wall for him.
Yeah, I brought this up to bring it back to
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, because we had Mudcat Saunders on yesterday, and he mentioned that last time we almost took Cantor out with Colonel Powell. He said the reason they raised so much money was specifically my show.
Right.
You know, because we had Colonel Powell on, he was really impressive. But I'm just saying, and this is what just makes me crazy about progressives not getting how important the airwaves are in controlling the message.
No, that's certainly true. We've never had our own Fox News,
right?
And they've never, progressive donors have never seen fit to want to create it. I mean, and furthermore, even donors who do support with large checks, the infrastructure of both parties or both ideologies, the conservative donors, they're conservative billionaires, will write checks and basically commit to giving the same amount of money for 20 years.
Right.
On the left, you have to go back for the money every 6 months or a year.
Right, right. And when Rush Limbaugh blows all the advertisers out of talk radio, the right-wing groups prop up, the right-wing talk shows. I mean, it's just
exactly.
That, Anyway, sorry, personal axe to grind. Let me put this down. The other thing you brought up about his constituent stuff, you said earthquake rattles Virginia politics. Cantor loses to Tea Party challenger. Too bad he opposes disaster relief for Virginia earthquake victims.
Yeah.
I mean, there was that, right? I mean,
well, yeah, it's not like he also did the brightest things politically. I mean, he basically operated his political career like he was sticking his fingers in the person right in front of him's eye sockets. ocular penetration is no way to see yourself get reelected.
Carl, first of all, you talked about the polls. You said his pollster said he was going to win. I guess he could have used some unscrewing. I think you meant unskewing. Is that what you meant?
Either way. Same
thing.
Right.
aren't a lot of Republicans who are interested in polling that have ever been screwed. So.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously the other big thing, he stepped down as the leader today, right?
I guess it's effective in July.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see which crazy person, which Republican takes over for him.
And the vote for that is, I believe, next Thursday, a week from today.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
we're going to have to get you. I don't envy anybody who gets that job on the right. I mean, think of who's had it before. Tom DeLay, Dick Garvey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you said you hear FreedomWorks has been looking for a new pathetic former majority leader to serve its mouthpiece since the last one quit. Do you think that's where Cantor's going next?
He's certainly going to go make some money somewhere, although I don't think he's popular enough with anybody in the grassroots of the right.
Yeah, we were speculating yesterday on people taking his call or not. Ugh. Who's on the phone?
Well, I mean, my understanding is that there's a tobacco commission in Virginia that's looking for somebody.
Ah, there you go.
There you go. There you go. Well, you know, a lot of punditry, Carl, on what this means, right, for the GOP. You tweeted yesterday, attention GOP incumbents, to win primaries, you must parrot Tea Party racism, xenophobia, demographic changes, and general elections be damned.
Right. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. It's as if the Tea Party and the conservative wing of the Republican Party, which is basically the whole Republican Party, looked at the 2012 Republican National Committee autopsy, and their conclusion from it was that they needed to deport all of the portions about demographic shifts, because this is no way to prolong the life of that party. This is a way to really nip it in the bud and make it die quicker.
Well, you know, I mean, it's interesting. Rich Galen, we're going to have on tomorrow, you know, Republican strategist. I mean, he was widely quoted yesterday. Tea Party defeat of Cantor spells trouble for the GOP. There's headlines today, earthquake, GOP in chaos. Couldn't happen to a douchier party, in my opinion. But, you know, Republican civil war about to explode. I mean, how do you think this plays out going forward?
Well, certainly, I mean, if you're a Republican on the Hill, you're going to be looking, if you like, you're in office already, you're going to be looking at your own backyard now and knowing that it could happen to anybody. So you're probably going to do more to secure your own backyard. And that means you're going to be more conservative.
Yeah.
That doesn't help them in the long run, and it certainly doesn't help them in 2016. I mean, I think it was Jim Messina who was tweeting up a storm as well, talking about, you know, if you're an advisor to somebody like Chris Christie or Marco Rubio or one of the other Republican candidates that are going to run for president, on election night this week, you were in the bar double-fisting.
Excuse me? Well, you know, well, let's see. I mean, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, right, said they've nominated a far-right candidate, and, you know, they're going to put money into this race now, and I think it's winnable, don't you? I think it's tough.
I think it's something that we could win. I mean, obviously, we'd probably lose it in 2 years, but you know, stranger things have happened for us as a party. I mean, we went through a period where we won every single special weird election. I don't think that the stars are aligned like they were when we were doing that. But stranger things have happened.
Yep.
It's like the battle.
We have more interest in Eric Cantor's seat than Mrs. Cantor, judging by her face on election night. What
like
did
the
I mean by
of
that?
College professors.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, we will check in with you as that rolls along. Thank you, Carl. Talk to you next week.
All right. Have a good one.
All right.
Oh,
there he goes, Carl Frisch. Who is exciting and I can't
no,
now.
That Love Boat is exciting and new. Carl Frisch is just exciting.
Okay. Perfect. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
I don't know if you guys are doing the overhead camera, but that affects camera position to where Max wants to be, because Max is literally the 800-pound gorilla in Great Pyrenees. So if he needs to be there, I need to be out of frame over here. All right. The Stephanie Miller Show. How is Nathan doing on his training, Natan? Awesome. The training wheels are coming off. We'll be flying the big plane, the big boy plane, on Monday. Yes, Natan is going off to grad school. By the way, on our Twitter feed, someone said we're very confused about the whole two Nathans thing. It's like the two Darrens on Bewitched.
Yeah, kind of.
See, at least we're taught. We could have just switched them out and it's not said anything.
That is true.
Mm. Okay, also, people on my Twitter feed, funny, they said after the Eric Cantor thing, Mitch McConnell must be shaking in his shell. Because he's...
Turtle tunnel.
He must be in his turtle tunnel.
Yeah.
Shaking. All right, 1-800-STEP-12. Random thoughts on the Cantor loss. Mama, don't forget, Eric Cantor was an attendee at the 2008 Inauguration Day. Screw you, American voters, to forget the depression we helped George Bush cause and the two unpaid-for wars we started. Our job is to destroy this black Democrat president meeting. Remember that? They met on Inauguration Day to talk about how to stop everything he was trying to do.
That's right.
Julie points out, guess who outlasted who? Ha-ha, bitch face. And then he. And also, this going around the interwebs, both sides of the political aisle can be inspired to see that big corporate campaign spending can be defeated. Cantor actually spent $5,026,626. His opponent spent $122,093. Republican leader Eric Cantor loses. Ha ha. And a nanny nanny boo boo.
And did you see how much Cantor spent on steaks?
Oh, right. He spent most of his money at steakhouses.
Yeah.
More than the other guy spent on his whole campaign. Nicely done, sir. Nicely done. And how's your cholesterol?
As someone said, those sides had better cure cancer if you're spending that much.
Yeah, exactly. the guy that won, Dave Bratt, very, very Jesus-y.
Yeah.
Very, very Jesus-y.
Lord, the day is at hand.
Right.
We are in the last days.
Right.
You are Jehovah God.
Okay. All right. He said, we learned that what seems impossible is possible with God. Someone writes, I guess the God of Virginia primaries hates Eric Cantor. You know why? Oy. It's because Jews must be raptured now. That was the last Republican Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody put their rapture helmets on. Dale in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dale.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I had this idea that maybe Cantor is pulling those numbers out of his butt, his poll numbers. They could be just cooking the books on it.
What do you mean?
The way Rush makes up his numbers. He doesn't have 20 million viewers or listeners.
Are you calling from inside a trash compactor by any chance?
You know, it's breaking up on me, too.
Okay.
Did you hear any of that? I just think Eric Cantor is making up poll numbers to rake in his money.
Oh, that he was winning. Oh, that he was winning by that much.
You know, he knew he was close or losing.
You know what?
I probably could have done that because the PACs aren't going to back a loser.
Right. But you know what? Independent polls also pretty much.
No, Nate Silver, who was like dead on, right, in the last.
And they may have been kind of sourcing him. Maybe he was nudging it. I don't know. But, you know, Rush doesn't have those listeners. He's just doing that to, you know, he used to get advertisers, but. That was my point.
All right, thank you. I don't know, that was
love
a
y'all.
All right, love you too.
We
that
all
got...
used to get advertisers.
We still do. We can't find advertisers.
Yeah. Just type Stephanie in the box.
Please, won't you? All right, that was a little all over the place, but he came back. All right,
yes.
So we mentioned Eric Cantor stepping down as leader.
I intend to serve out my term as a member of Congress in the 7th District of Virginia.
Awesome.
Effective July 31st. I will be stepping down as majority leader.
Oh, no. Don't go away mad, bitch face. 29 and a half minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She makes so much sense.
I know. She's a visionary, like Gandhi or Mozart or Picasso.
Right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Heather thinks so. Heather says, Steph, hope Free Speech TV is having a great fundraising week. Me too. I purchased everything with Stephanie Miller on it so you would get credit. Wish I had an extra $1,000 laying around. One lunch to have, would love to have lunch with you and the Mookages. Ah, to dream. Somehow you managed to keep me sane in Texas. Wow.
That's
keeping Heather
cool.
Sane in Texas. Since 19... Carvin. Thank you for your donation. Free Speech TV thanks you.
Yes, freespeech.org.
Yes, by the way, speaking of TV, Rocky Mountain Mike gives us the breaking news. The former chairman of Time Warner Cable has died. The funeral will be Friday sometime between noon and 4. Not a specific time.
Sounds like too small of a window.
So, be there sometime.
Usually it's between 9 and 5. Great.
Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ken in West Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ken.
Good morning. I guess I want to get that guy in the ground real quick, huh? I was on basically the whole Cantor deal. I think what we saw here in regards to the whole national spot here.
Wow. Feedback. Okay, go ahead.
Is that me? Oh.
I don't know.
I think what we have is a little bit of the census and the redistricting. And they redistricted some of these crazies because they embraced them and kept them in their districts and redistricted themselves.
Yeah.
Because they thought they were safe.
Well, you know, Ken, this is what I say over and over again about how important turnout is. And I think the two really important things to take away from this is, you know, A, what you just said. Everybody that, you know, storyline is, oh, gerrymandering. There's no way Democrats can win. And, you know, number two is this whole about money, the whole Koch brothers money thing that I think all that's meant to depress turnout and make Democrats think we can't win. And like you say, this gerrymandering obviously blew up in the Republican establishment face, right, in this latest race.
Exactly. When you're catering that far and you give them all this red meat and think you're safe, well, as soon as they think you turn your back on them, they're going to come around and bite you. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and again, you know, don't get depressed by big money. We keep saying when as Bill Clinton always said, when Democrats vote, we win.
Yes.
I mean, when you turn out, I mean, that's what it's all about, right? And that's what Eric Cantor, I mean, he spent all this money on negative ads. He did nothing on turnout. He didn't think he needed to. He was arrogant.
Absolutely not. But I think we might see a change. What we have to look out for is the 2020, whether they're going to get these crazies out of their districts and try to get more lean to the center or just stay that far right and still be, you know, goofballs.
I can't think that far ahead.
Goofballs. That's awesome.
The goofball caucus. All right. Which will be
all right, have a good
thank
one.
You. Which will be goofier than the President Herp Derp caucus. which you made it Herp Derp Doy.
Herp Derp Doy.
Now there's even dumber. There's now even dumber people in
it.
All right. Yeah, I don't know why. It makes me happy to read stories about earthquake, GOP, and chaos.
Yeah.
Aw, kids.
That was a good analysis by the Washington Post yesterday, I thought.
It's just like sitting at Chuck E. Cheese watching them sort it out in the ball jump. I don't know. Good luck.
Yeah.
Let us know how it works out.
Peter King, Representative Peter King, was on the news yesterday. He was just trying to make heads or tails of it. He couldn't.
Yeah. No, people were shocked, I tell you.
Yeah.
Shocked. Washington Post, just to give you some, you know, commentary from around, because it is interesting. Everybody, and the other thing, seems like everyone has a different opinion. Carl Frisch does not think much of the Cooter, as it turns out. The Cooter theory, that was the Cooter from Dukes of Hazzard, urging the Democrats did this, because it was an open primary. He doesn't think that was as big a factor.
Yeah, I don't think that was as big a factor either.
Only
a very select few people read the Huffington Post, and in particular stuff that Cooter writes.
Right. Okay. Historic. And if Carl Frisch doesn't like Cooter, the Cooter theory, then you know what I mean. There's no hope for it.
I don't care for Cooter either.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
A historic electoral surprise that left the GOP in chaos in the House without its heir apparent. It was an operatic fall from power, swift and deep and utterly surprising. Cantor felt so confident of victory, I love this part, that he spent the morning at a Starbucks. Hi. Can I have a triple latte?
A Starbucks in D.C.?
Right, holding a fundraising meeting with lobbyists
while
his constituents vote went to the polls.
That's amazing. He didn't even go back to his district.
Why isn't my Frappuccino refilled? Voting's for the little people.
Did he even vote?
I don't know. I don't know.
Wow.
It left stunned Republicans, those who had supported Cantor, even those who had worked to beat him, struggling to understand what happened. Reminds me of that Fred Willard, what happened? What happened? Bratt was boosted for months by conservative talk radio hosts, as we mentioned, Laura Ingraham and Mark Levin, who touted him as a contender to their listeners and drove small donor dollar donations into Bratt's coffers.
They're saying that it wasn't Bratt that won, it's Laura Ingraham that won.
I keep bringing it back to
Stephanie Miller.
But you know, Chris, it's exactly what Mudcat said.
Yeah.
That we did, because of my show, that's how they raised so much money for Colonel Powell, and he almost won last time.
Right.
And they don't, you know.
And that's how Bratt spent so little money. He kept going on these shows.
Yeah.
And it's free to go on those shows.
Yeah.
We don't pay. We don't charge.
Okay. All right.
What?
Unhappy. I love this. Unhappy with what they considered a too hesitant to fight GOP. Oh, yeah, that's been the problem with it. They've been too cooperative. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
They champion Bratt as a fellow warrior for their ideological cause, lifting him with the GOP's base as he hovered under the national radar. I mean, I have to say, maybe this is good news for Democrats in terms of nationally, because you just go, okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Their crazy right-wing talk show hosts are pushing the candidates to the crazier ideological right. And, you know, in the mainstream and in the general elections, I hope that that backfires on you. Brat said, I love this. He's happy clappy in his own way, in his own, like, Jesus-y kind of way.
Uh-huh.
He said, I love every single person that God made on the planet because they're all children of God. That is so up with people, isn't it? That's so kumbaya. I bet you I could test that theory. Really? You love
everybody?
Single person exactly alike? Because God created Eric Cantor, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a bitch face one more time.
I was in my district every week. So, there's a balance between holding a leadership position and serving constituents at home. But never was there a day did I not put the constituents of the 7th District of Virginia first, and I will continue to do so.
That's
my heart bled for them right onto my hand-stitched Italian loafers. Yeah, that's a bunch of
He couldn't even be bothered to go to his district.
Although maybe if he
election
was,
day.
That's why he lost, because the more people see him, the more they hated him. And thought he was Anyway, yeah, I don't. But that's what Mudcat said yesterday. That he and he also said not only he was arrogant, his staff was really douchey and arrogant and tough to deal with for constituent services.
In fact, I think Scarborough was talking this morning about Eric Cantor, and he said that Cantor came in with a much larger entourage than even most governors.
Yes.
Yeah, a huge entourage.
Good. And what's he going to do with that now?
You know, even when I worked in conservative talk radio and we had senators in, they would only come in with one person, usually their press person.
Conda in Mobile, Alabama. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Conda. Hello. Mobile, I meant. Hi, Conda. I assume you're not calling from something that's dangling above a baby. Anyway, go ahead.
No. Thank you.
Yes.
Actually, what I wanted to talk about was not only Eric Cantor thinking that he was inevitable, but I feel the same thing from Hillary Clinton.
How so?
I mean, because, well, not just from Hillary and her camp, but also from a Democratic apparatus as well, who's thinking that she's inevitable, that she's going to just take the nomination and run with it. And I'm going to tell you this one thing, that has a lot of people, particularly minorities and black women, pissed off with her about not wanting to go after Sarah Palin because she was a woman. Hillary Clinton is supposed to be a politician. So
right.
I guess she was just okay with Sarah Palin and John McCain having those let's go lynch Barack Obama rallies.
Well,
that's not going to work.
Yeah, but I got to say, I got to disagree with one thing. I think after what happened to her last time, I don't think they're feeling like this is inevitable. I mean, you remember that was the storyline before. There was nobody, there was nobody except for me that thought Barack Obama was going to win. I mean,
well, a lot of us, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but wanted to get this in. But a lot of us, believe me when I tell you that a lot of us really are wanting Joe Biden in there. And because we're Team Biden, I will not support Hillary Clinton. And it all makes sense now because Bill Clinton came out and defended Donald Trump in his birtherism. So she didn't want to go after Sarah Palin. What is that telling us?
Wait. Bill Clinton defended Donald Trump?
Defended, yes. If you need me to send it to you, I will. I can email you the...
Okay. I don't think that's true, but okay, all right.
It is true. It's very true. You can Google it. Google it, please.
Bill Clinton defended Donald Trump's birtherism. I don't think that's true.
Yes, he did. Yes,
okay,
he did.
Right.
Ask the guy that with the beard thingy. Who knows?
Hey, beard thingy guy.
I'm Googling.
Right,
I don't think it's true, but I'm Googling.
Thank you. All right. Hey, beard thingy guy. Google person. Do it. Oh, boy. You know what I'm feeling, Chris? Starting to feel that primary thing coming. Oh, no. I'm getting primary PTSD. I love Joe Biden, too. I'm just, you know. What's wrong, beard thingy? You look like that might not be true, whatever you're Googling.
I'm looking. You asked me to look for it. I'm looking for it.
Michelle in Pittsburgh. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Michelle.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, beard guy.
Hi, beard guy.
I think that Boehner is afraid that Cantor's going to have to go work in a tavern now because supposedly he was crying all day yesterday.
Who? You think Boehner was?
Boehner was crying all day yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he's
afraid that Cantor's out of work. He's going to have to go work in a tavern now.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure his bronzer is in a little puddle around him in the tavern. What if somebody said that? He said, I'll have a comment as soon as I stop laughing. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, lots more on the Eric Cantor race and the Bergdahl hearings with Chuck Hagel as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
my God! That's like my favorite show ever!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yes. In case you're wondering, I have done a costume change. I had to change my shirt because I spilled something on it because I am...
drunk.
Yes.
What did you spill on it? Fish?
Who can say? 1-800-STEPH-1 to the phone number toll-free from anywhere. All right. And
or is it boob sweat?
It could be. All right. Oh, by the way, good God, really? Primary trouble already?
Yeah.
Someone said they're for Joe Biden because Bill Clinton supported Donald Trump's birtherism.
Way back when, okay. Bill Clinton...
Hey, beard guy, Google person.
I Googled it during the break, and way back when asked about Trump's birtherism, Clinton said, "I don't know. You know, Donald Trump has been uncommonly nice to Hillary and me. We're all New Yorkers, and I like him, and I love playing golf with him. But the evidence is pretty clear that President Obama was born in Hawaii, and this whole election should not be about any of these side issues."
Okay. All right, so you can see how that would be supporting Donald Trump's birtherism. Okay. We better get our Kevlar on.
Yeah.
Primary,
good
yikes.
Lord.
Okay. Charles in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Charles.
Hello, Stephanie. Hello, Moose with the beard.
Hello.
Moose, Moose Google beardy guy thing.
I got to do this real quick here for you.
Yay!
Now the dog will start barking.
Yes. And by the
way...
go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, we should know that Eric Cantor was kicked out of office with only 13% of the vote from his district.
Wow.
So for the Democrats to win, we need to get more than that going.
Yeah. Well,
I think that...
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I mean, we've said it over and over and over. Turnout, 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 right?
That's true. So that's what they have to start doing is get that vote out there and get moving on them. Especially in those northern counties where it's, quote, more Democratic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting. It's hard to get my mind around, like, the fact that I feel like we live increasingly in two separate countries. I'm like, really? Right-wing radio hosts think that the Republicans, the current makeup of the Republican House, has been too cooperative with the president.
Yeah.
Let me get this straight. So, and now apparently it's going to get even worse in terms of that.
That's right.
As they push people, and I agree with Bob Sesk on that it's bad news for trying to govern the country in any. If you thought it's bad now, it is hard to imagine mm-hmm. it getting worse.
Yeah.
The obstructionism, but
I think it all goes back to that Republican and far right, all or nothing attitude that they have.
Right.
You know, they're going to give the president absolutely nothing if they can't have it all.
More and more they're spinning on their back in the Walmart parking lot.
That's
party.
Right.
Yeah. John in L.A. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I think with this right-wing radio getting Brat elected is exactly the reason why, and I believe this, that the Clinton machine is clearing the decks of left-wing radio right now and ahead of the 16 campaign.
Wait,
because,
what?
You guys abandoned her last time and went for Barack Obama, and Elizabeth Warren is waiting in the wings. And I just don't think the Clinton machine will take that again.
Well, now we're getting a little conspiratorial.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the major radio companies are owned by right wingers, so you can't, I
but why is that? In the entertainment capital of the world, why is there no left wing radio? They control so much
because
of the entertainment.
Because all
industry.
Of the major
why
radio
not
companies
radio?
Are owned by right wingers.
Yeah.
I mean, if I
but all the major media companies are owned by left wingers. So what is the dichotomy there? Why can't
but not the
they
radio
cross
companies,
over?
Not the radio companies.
Oh, I know, but why? That my question is why can't any left wing radio cross over and get into their left-wing media get into radio? Why can it never be successful for the left?
Wait, I'm confused. Cross over into other companies that are not radio?
All of the major media, and I'm talking about visual media, is generally controlled by the left.
No, that's not true.
No, it's not true.
No, that's not true.
Well, more so than the... Just as much as the right controls radio.
No, Comcast, I don't know who you're talking about.
I mean, we used to work for Disney, and high up, they were pretty right-wing.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Bigger Katzenberg, any of the big money.
But that's film.
David Geffen, any of those huge guys. Look at the Google guys.
Film. If I could be Steffi on Ice, if we could be an animated movie, sure.
Yeah,
but
we're
Google,
a radio show.
Google doesn't get into radio. Film guys don't get into radio.
Right.
I know, but look at all the billionaires, in the new billionaires, like Google and Facebook. They could start a radio station, but I'm convinced the Clinton machine
is wiping the
deck of left-wing radio.
All right, well, I disagree with you, but okay. All right, normally I'm down with whatever theory serves me best. Okay. Dang.
Yeah, those people like that don't get into content creation.
Steffi on Ice, there's an idea. Jim's good at the funny voices. We could reanimate this whole thing. I would tend to go with more the straight line theory that it's an election year and you want to, right wingers would like to clear the deck of any, because I'm just saying, and I think this latest story is making a lot of people nervous that, you know, radio does have a role to play. And I've said this over and over again, the American airwaves, that this is, people are stunned. And this is a major, this is the first time this ever happened. It's not just a major, he's a leader.
Yeah.
I mean, to have lost a primary that nobody saw coming. Bloomberg Business, writing, with Eric Kendricks' loss, the Republican Civil War is about to explode.
Oh.
Yay. Fight, 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 fight. Push each other into the bleachers. Do it. Interesting how everybody is, describing it. It's the equivalent of a number 16 seed beating a number 1 seed in the end, in basketball. Nobody saw this coming. First, it eliminates what little chance there remained the House would pass some sort of immigration legislation this year. Again, puts them farther out of step to me with the American mainstream. His loss probably also diminishes the likelihood House Republicans will pass legislation next year, too.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is the opposite of what the Republican establishment postmortem was, saying they've got to embrace immigration reform or they're never going to win another national election.
Right.
And they've gone, in response to that, farther to the right. Kanter's loss blows a hole in GOP leadership team. Third, Kanter's loss will greatly exacerbate the ongoing civil war within the Republican Party. Both at the congressional and presidential level, as recently as a few years ago, conservatives counted Kanter as one of their own. He was the one that derailed the grand bargain. Remember, between Obama and Boehner, that would have raised taxes and cut entitlement spending. Since then, he came to be viewed by Republicans on all sides as an oily operator out of the House of Cards.
Yeah.
Someone said Frank Underwood pushed him under the train. That's what happened. Whose only loyalty was to his own ambition and advancement. Yeah, he was a little too naked. In his ambition, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He made common cause with Boehner and was seen by those on the right as a member of the hated establishment that probably cost him his job. The center of gravity in the House will shift further to the right now. Kanter's absence leaves a void the right wing will push hard to fill. As a result, next year's legislative agenda will look different and more conservative. Did you think that was possible?
God.
Many commentators are already weighing in to predict that Kanter's loss will spell doom for the GOP in 2016, and it may, but conservatives see it as a validation of their worldview and an opening to further assert their influence, which means they're going to be an even bigger fight about that first. Yes, fight, 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 fight. Don't let them treat you like that. You need to keep fighting each other as hard as possible. Don't agree on anything because that would make you f-sies. Don't do it. You've got all your life to live. You've got all your love to give. You'll survive. You just keep going at it. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour. Michael Tomasky next on the Steffi Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Steffi Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Jackie Schechner on her way in for hour number three. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Florida woman, Jackie Schechner.
Yes, we will talk to her about, what's her name? Oh, Crystal Metheny.
Yeah.
Who was just arrested in Florida for launching a missile into an occupied car.
Yep.
Why? Because it's Florida.
Exactly.
Okay.
Also, a Florida man was caught trying to trade a salad for sex with an undercover cop.
Sure. Florida man named Cocaine has drug charges dropped. Those are the kind of headlines you get out of Florida. WTF, Florida.
And that's why we love Florida.
Right. Or you know who else we love? See what I did there? See that magical segue?
That was smooth.
Michael, since we have these the Bo Bergdahl hearings ongoing, we wanted to talk to our good friend Michael Tomasky. Good morning, Michael.
Hi there. I'm so glad I was on the phone to pick up those little Florida tidbits.
Yes.
Aren't they nice?
There's a column in the making. So, Michael, your latest column, the right didn't mind when Bush paid a ransom to terrorists. I had not even heard this meme yet, that you say Republicans are howling with no proof that Obama paid a ransom for Bo Bergdahl's freedom. Funny, they weren't howling when Bush actually did it. Tell us more about this, though.
Well, this started, of course, there's no evidence that Obama paid any ransom. That's the first thing to say. And Chuck Hagel has said that no ransom was paid. But obviously, this did not stop figures on the right, most notably, get this, Oliver North.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
As you say, started this talk is one of those laugh, cry, or shoot the television moments that now assault our synapses with regularity. Yes, I feel your pain.
That Oliver North, yep.
Yeah.
Who speculated, I wonder if a ransom was involved. And this got picked up in other places.
Right.
And, you know, the usual suspects, Daily Caller, Free Beacon, stuff like that.
Right.
Eventually to Steve Stockman, one of the crazier members of the House. So it's getting around, you know, and I don't think it's going to die away. I think they're going to try to keep pushing this idea for which there's no evidence. And when I heard Ollie North say that, I just started wondering, I wonder if this has ever happened before.
Right.
And so I just sort of started looking around and calling around, and lo and behold, there it was.
Mm-hmm.
The Bush administration in 2002, there, to make a long story short, there were two American missionaries, a husband and wife team, being held captive in the Philippines by Abu Sayyaf, which is an official terrorist organization, Al-Qaeda connected.
I remember this, Martin
Islamic
and Gracia Burnham.
Yeah, Gracia Burnham, that's right, you got it. And they demanded a ransom, and it seems that the Bush administration did not pay it directly, just so they could say, we didn't directly negotiate with terrorists, but they indirectly facilitated a ransom payment to the Abu Sayyaf group to try and free this couple. And sadly, Martin was killed in a firefight. She got home.
Right.
But a ransom was paid.
You say he was killed when they stormed the compound to try to rescue the couple.
Yeah.
And, you know, as usual, you say, just imagine that Obama had, quote-unquote, facilitated a ransom, and yet Bergdahl had been killed during the rescue mission.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
imagine. I mean, it would be all over. You know, even Democrats on the Hill would be wouldn't have the guts to stand up to what the Republicans would be saying about that.
And what makes me crazy is this part, you know, that you had written here. Well, that was different. It was after 9/11, and Bush was our Churchill. I mean, yeah, right, when everybody had to watch what, in the days of you said, watching what you said, watching what you did, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's just a ridiculous double standard that these people try to enforce, and I think it's important just to point it out.
Well, I mean,
I do what I can, Steph.
Yeah, you do more than enough, Michael Tomasky. What, I mean, so I just find even these hearings, you know, and when in our history have we seen that, where a commander-in-chief is called on the carpet with hearings to explain freeing an American prisoner of war, right?
Right.
I mean, and there's Chuck Hagel having to defend it, and I think it seems clear, you know, even I said yesterday, Saxby Chambliss said, oh, yeah, I would have been raising holy hell, but right, you would have leaked it and gotten him killed. That's why they couldn't do it.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. You know, I mean, they appear to have broken a law in not informing Congress, but like you just said, they couldn't. They really couldn't. And anyway, that law was passed just kind of aimed at Obama, you know, so he wouldn't empty out Gitmo. And on the subject of emptying out Gitmo, let's not forget that in the very early days of the Obama administration, he was working on a deal with the Congress. And remember, the Democrats were in control, but of course he needed 60 senators, so he needed was trying to work a deal with Congress to bring prisoners from Gitmo into the mainland, and they blocked it.
Republicans
blocked it.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know,
demagoguing it to death, saying that, you know, he's gonna put these dangerous madmen terrorists in your neighborhood, when obviously they were only going to be in the most supermax facilities, you know, that exist in the country.
Yeah, exactly, Michael. I wanted, while I got you this week, obviously a political earthquake or whatever anybody wants to call it, with Eric Cantor's loss, and everybody's got a different theory, right, on what happened or what it means going forward. What's yours?
It's a bad thing for governance and Congress.
Yeah, right.
You know, because these Republicans are all just going to be absolutely terrified, and nobody's going to step out of line. All the Tea Party has to do, I mean, you know, they've lost, as everybody said, they've lost these races, and the establishment Republican side was on a roll. But all the Tea Party has to do is really win one, especially if it's one like this.
Yeah.
Really high profile and really a shocker.
Yeah.
And then everybody will get right back in line. So Republicans won't venture away from the Tea Party line on anything.
I was just saying to Chris, it is a little stunning to me that there is apparently a group in the country that thinks this Republican Congress has been a little too cooperative.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I mean, that they actually could get more obstructionist, I guess.
Yeah, it's that, I don't know. Well, what do we say to that? You know, what do we say to that?
There
are people out there who really think.
But I mean,
is really think that this the Republicans' problem in Congress is that they're sellouts?
But is this in the long term more, you know, more trouble for the Republican Party for the Democratic? What do you think?
Yes, particularly in terms of presidential politics, obviously, because now immigration reform is dead, and immigration reform is not going to pass. Oh my gosh, I don't know how many years it's going to take before it has an opportunity to come up again.
Yeah.
And that's also a really sad thing in substantive terms. But in crasser political terms, it's obviously bad for the Republicans in terms of presidential politics, because I think they're now stuck at 27% of the Latino vote.
Well, I mean, and I was saying, Michael, interesting, it's the exact opposite of what this GOP autopsy after the last election said they should do.
Right. Well, you know, party chairmen are supposed to shut up and raise money.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll get the message.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Michael, great stuff this weekend. We will talk to you again next.
Terrific. Thanks.
Thanks so much, sir. There he goes, Michael Tomasky of the Daily Beast.
He's awesome.
Oh, and here is Dave Bratt, by the way, very Jesus-y winner of the Eric Cantor seat.
The miracle that just happened, this is a miracle from God that just happened.
Right.
It was a miracle from God, but it didn't float down from heaven.
No, it floated across Virginia. It was just it was like a chemtrail.
I see.
Corky in Rochester, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Corky.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
I don't know why everybody's getting so excited about this Cantor election. I got more people living in my cul-de-sac than voted down there.
What, yeah.
68,000 people voted, 13% of the population, and you're calling this a wave election? Everybody better be scared. All it was a bunch of people who said, I got time.
Yikes. Sorry, Corky, go ahead.
Really? Do you see my point?
I hear what you're saying, and that's why I was saying that I would sort of put the predictions on hold and just, you can't say it enough, you've got to turn out and vote, because that's absolutely right. It doesn't mean that it's representative of the whole country. In a way, you go, good, I hope it affects the whole Republican Party and pushes them farther into the fringe, because that because you're right, they may overtake the message of this. Let's try Cordell in North Carolina real quick. Hey, Cordell, welcome.
Good morning, it's Professor Gabe Blas, right at the Stephanie Miller Show. I hope you guys can hear me because I'm having a hard time hearing you. But I just want to respond to that caller that says that we own the majority of the media out there. If that was the case, we would not be dealing with countless hours on Benghazi, would not have to undergo Sergeant Bertol's reputation being attacked day in and day out.
Right.
It is just simply not true. Conservatives are the ones who owns the majority of the media.
Yep, absolutely. All right, everybody, either everyone got a Sports Illustrated Spink sneaker phone or there's something going on with our phone system.
There,
we will tinker as we continue. And then Jackie Schechner on her way in 17 minutes after the hour. We roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Time. Can't touch this. Yo, sound the bell. School is in, sucker. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Break it down.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 21 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. So never fear, the beardy, moosey guy is stressed out because we're having technical situations. But that's all right. We shall overcome. All right. David in Massachusetts says, Dear Steph, now that our country has been decantered, right? See, he's
yes.
a wine guy like me. By Eric Cantor's primary loss, perhaps this will lead to some aeration in Congress. It's another wine
thing. Another wine thing.
This can only help improve the body and add some good taste to the actions of our representatives. Since I share a love for wine and Democratic control of Congress, I'm more hopeful for our chances this November. Love the show. Contributor to Free Speech TV to help keep you on the TV. Thank you. Fine American. All right.
Oh, by the way, speaking of contributing to Free Speech TV, we got a tweet from Perry Reunions. Says, radio guy Chris said he won't flex for free. I've donated $150 to Free Speech TV over the last 3 weeks, so I want to see him flex.
Do it. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. You have no standards at all.
I have none.
You are just a piece of beefcake. Just a slab of moose meat.
If you donate to Free Speech TV, I'll flex.
Wow. That was pathetic. All right. Although, look at me. I'm doing the see-through charted up top.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to, where am I? Lawrence in, am I saying that right?
Merced.
Hello, Lawrence.
Good morning. Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, bearded Google person.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, I wanted to know, well, I've been pretty much immersed into the Cantor coverage the last couple of days, and one theory I'm not hearing is why isn't it more practical than what every – I mean, how many long-term unemployed are in the district? You know, Virginia, do they have the ACA? How many people are being affected by that?
Yeah.
Why, you know, the snap reaction was it was immigration. That's been found not to be true. You know, people are saying he's Tea Party, he's not Tea Party. And nobody's addressed that, you know, these kitchen table pocketbook issues have not been addressed in the election. Nobody's really brought that up as to what is that being.
Well,
the right
I mean, interestingly, you know, they say Dave Brat ran on income inequality. It's like, okay, that's what Elizabeth Warren's been talking about and the Democratic Party's been talking about. So, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this really plays out.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of income inequality.
Yes.
What you mentioned is true. The amount of money Eric Cantor's campaign spent on steakhouses.
Yeah.
Just
says
it all.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, he outspent his challenger by 25-1. How big was the spending disparity? Cantor's campaign spent more at steakhouses than his challenger spent on his entire campaign. The Cantor campaign spent almost $169,000at Bobby Vann's and BLT Steakhouse as of May 21st. Bratt's campaign spent just $122,793 overall. Yeah. And somebody else said the same thing that I think Carl Frisch was talking about. He was looking at the speaker's chair, not his own.
Yeah.
I think he was so arrogant, you know, and hanging out at Starbucks with the lobbyists.
And steakhouses, apparently.
Right. We will have Republican strategist, right-wing tool, Rich Galen on tomorrow.
That's
who doesn't
right.
mind that I call him a right-wing tool?
Yeah.
But... No, but interesting to see, because we've talked to, obviously, Carl Frisch, who's a Democratic strategist. Interesting to see. But Rich was quoted widely yesterday as saying Tea Party defeat of Eric Cantor spells trouble for the GOP. Which makes me sad, which is why I wanted to have him
tell.
On. Mm-hmm. For the GOP mainstream, it spells trouble, Galen said. First, because all the efforts of the party has made since 2010 to incorporate and cool the Tea Party suddenly seem to have been inadequate. They tried to beautiful, wow, there, wait, that was that didn't work.
No.
I thought we had weathered that storm, Galen said. If you want to be the majority party in America, you have to be willing to concede that the edges will get farther and farther apart. And I think that's what the Republican Party was trying to do. The Tea Party is not interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't. They're not interested in any kind of compromise or governing or
whatever
this all used to be about. That sets up two problems for the party going into fall. One is there's bound to be a new leadership struggle in the House, which, considering how unruly the rank and file has proved, even with set leaders, likely to spill over into the floor and into hearing rooms. Ooh, it's going to be like Taiwan soon. There's going to be punching.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Second, while the Republican establishment seems aware that it's nearly impossible to be a national party that leans too far right, members have been reminded they better not edge away from their conservative base, which makes it hard for the party to appeal to the broader base of voters statewide, which is what I was saying. When you get into the, you know, into the actual races,
mm-hmm.
it can affect remaining primaries, he said, and even the lay of the land in 2016. Now the Tea Party folks have 2 years to get their legs under them and see how they won those races and see how they can take that to enough of these districts and knock off more guys. So, you know, the fight continues.
Yeah, it does.
I'm just going to sit back and grab some popcorn.
Do it.
All right. James in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, James.
How are you guys?
Good. Go ahead.
As I explained to your screener, I own property in Culpeper, so I'm very familiar with Mr. Cantor.
Uh-huh.
I can safely tell you from people I've talked to in stores in the area to the guy who does bush hogs for my for the land for me and everything else like that, they're all going to vote him out. And the main reason is because it's very simple. Politics are local. He never, ever, ever showed up in his district. He just didn't. He had an office in Culpeper. He had an office in the Richmond area.
Yeah.
He never showed up in Culpeper. Hanover was the big loss for him. Of course, the fact that, you know, Brad is a teacher, and that's where Randolph Macon is in Hanover County.
Right.
But he just neglected his constituency. So all this thing about immigration and all this other stuff, never, I mean, at least with the people I've spoken to in the area, never once came up.
Well, you know, James, you know, Dave Saunders, Dave Mudcat, who, you know, obviously knows Virginia politics pretty well, said kind of the same thing, that, yeah, he was just horrible at constituent services, and people got tired of it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I mean, I even tried to go to him because even though I live in two districts in Virginia, you know, he still represents me. And I tried going to his office. He was in the town of Culpeper. He was never there. Not once.
I loved that there was a headline yesterday that said, Eric Cantor, don't take this the wrong way, but you're a jerk and everyone hates you.
Yeah. Everybody would use the D word, not the J word. But
right.
I read something pretty similar.
Right, yeah. I mean, he just, you know, we would joke about how, what do you call it, you know, just smug. He's, you just look at his face. Just look at his bitch face. I'm just mm-hmm. saying, it's not a big explosion to me what happened there. Because he was just arrogant, and
yeah.
I think as Mudcat said, like, he wouldn't even debate. Remember
right.
in the last election, he wouldn't even debate. He was above all that. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, Jackie Schechter on her way in for Jackie's Healthcare Corner. Much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I wasn't going to tell you this, but between you and me and the fly on the wall, there's a woman on the premises who I think maybe is going to save our bacon.
Stephanie Miller.
Yep.
It's all up to you.
Yep. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Jack Jeckner on her way in. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Dave in Minneapolis. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Mama. Well, a couple of things. A little bit of humor here. I've also donated to Free Speech TV, and I'm a monthly subscriber. So if I send my David Dukes to Chris, will he wear them on air?
Yes. I will.
Yes, he'll do anything.
Yes, okay, good.
Well, we've long ago lost our dignity. All right, go ahead.
I know, but the thing I was going to say, I find it interesting is this Brad guy now who's been out Tool, the biggest Tool, Cantor, is, you know, I'm so tired, I'm so sick and tired of saying, well, this was a gift from God, this fell from heaven, all this kind of baloney.
Right.
Somehow, God is interested in national championships, golf tournaments,
yes.
Political ambitions, but God could give a rip about the hungry or could care anything about people who are homeless and need medical care. You know, this, and they, of course, aren't going to talk about it, but God must be the most shallow entity in all the cosmos if all God is concerned about is this brat guy's political ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on and on. They keep talking like this. They demean it. If anybody who is a believer, and I'm a person of faith,
yep.
It demeans it. It just reduces it to a good luck charm. Why don't they just say my lucky rabbit's foot got me this primary win.
Yeah, we all know that God cares way more about the Grammys than he does about
and about the Super Bowl.
Right, Virginia politics.
And as the official spokesman for God of the Stephanie Miller Show, I really resemble that remark.
All right, Dave. Love you, honey. Yeah, this is Borowitz speaking of what he just said. Andy Borowitz, Virginians choose even bigger Tool. Who knew there was a bigger Tool in the shed than Eric Cantor?
I know, right?
In a development that few thought possible, Republicans in the 7th District of Virginia on Tuesday night found an even bigger Tool than Eric Cantor to represent them in the United States Congress. Apparently deciding Cantor was insufficiently heartless to represent their district, Republicans turned out to the polls to elect Dave Bratt, a man whose political views border on sociopathy, according to responses from voters who supported him. During his concession speech, Cantor reflected on the mistakes that might have led to his defeat. Should I have cut more school lunch programs for poor children? Perhaps. Should I have cast more votes to screw over disaster victims? Definitely. Should I have not said the thing about treating children of immigrants like human beings? Man, do I wish I could take that one back. Hindsight is 20/20, but at the end of the day, I was just too damn empathetic for this district. Oh, that is a sad state of affairs. Oh, by the way, did you see Dave Bratt was very, very startled to be asked about issues of any kind.
Oh, this was hysterical.
Yes, he's apparently an economics professor.
Yes.
And he said, I don't have a well-crafted response on the minimum wage issues. Why would you ask me about that?
But
minimum wage? I don't.
That's not... And he's an economics professor.
Right. This was Chuck Todd. And
let me ask you about something like a foreign policy question. Arming the Syrian rebels.
That and the...
Would you be in favor of that with the U.S. military helping to arm the moderate Syrian rebels?
Hey, Chuck, I thought we were just going to chat today about the celebratory aspect. I'd love to go through all this, but my mind is just...
I understand that, but I just want to get a sense of...
I love all the policy questions. I'm happy to do more, but I just wanted to talk about the victory here, and
I wanted
to thank everybody
party
that
time.
Worked so hard on that campaign, and I'm happy to take policy issues at any time.
So,
to call out thanks to everybody.
Yeah, just want to give a woot. Shout out. Hey.
Shout out.
Hey. Just want to give a shout out in this hizzy. What issues? What are you talking about?
I didn't run on issues.
I'm happy to answer that any time. Now? No, now's not good. Sometime soon.
Wow.
Did you see he said twice, I'm happy to talk about issues anytime?
Yeah.
Not now, though.
Just not now.
Not now, though, because the rave has started. So, no, not right this second. By the way, is it shallow to say that it looks like he, those, you know, clackety comedy teeth somehow got stuck in his mouth? I'm just saying, a little too, you know what I mean? A little too big, a little too white, a little too, like, or that thing you do, like, I used to do that, like, in high school, you know, you stick your lip up like that, so it would stick on your teeth to make your friends laugh. It looks a little like that. He looks a little toothy for me.
Now you got lipstick on your teeth.
you know what you do in the name of comedy.
Uh-huh.
I love this part. So then he went on to say, Chuck Todd said, so should there be a minimum wage in your opinion? Brat, say it again.
Oh.
Ball sex is what now? Todd, should there be a minimum wage in your opinion? Brad, I don't have a well-crafted response on that one. I got nothing on Syria on minimum wage. I don't. God. What? It's party time. All I know, I don't know what this meant. All I know is if you take the long run graph over 200 years of the wage rate, it cannot differ from your nation's productivity, right?
What?
Computer says no.
No, actually, no. The federal minimum wage in the U.S. should actually be almost $22 an hour if it kept up with increases in worker
right.
productivity. If you were, you know, if you were an economics professor or something like that. I mean, I'm not. But I'm just saying I knew that. I was able to Google that fact like that.
But he's a professor of Ayn Randian
economics. And I
partied
quite a bit, by the way, but I was able to pause from my partying to answer a couple of policy questions. I'm happy anytime to answer any... Oh, now? No.
No, I've been drunk.
No, not now. No thoughts on nothing.
Jeez.
Oh, this could be fun. By the way, drug allo gas bag Rush Limbaugh said the Cantor lost his primary because... his constituency became Barack Obama and the House leadership. Yep, that's what it was, because he was so cooperative in every way with the president and his Democratic counterpart.
Huh.
What?
What
is happening to our country? All right, Mike in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Stephanie, I just want to say my proudest possession is a picture of you and I now hanging in my refrigerator door that we took in Chicago.
Where was that?
My most beautiful woman in my refrigerator door.
Oh,
was it in public?
It was at the Chicago show.
Oh, it's Sexy Liberal. Okay. Because you never know what happens after I've been at the Billy Goat Tavern for a while. I don't remember. But all right, go ahead.
But I want to just play devil's advocate for a while. I mean, all the talk, you know, about the billionaires funding these elections and the Supreme Court decision, United Citizens.
Citizens United, money, yeah.
Money did not decide the Cantor election. I mean, far from it. I mean, you know, I think we sometimes think that the people are so stupid that they're just going to be constantly influenced by campaign ads. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It's always right. helpful to have. But, I mean, here the people have spoken.
Well, and Mike, I keep saying, not to be overly happy-clappy, but to me, those are really big lessons to take from this. You're absolutely right. You can have all the Koch brother money you want. Eric Cantor spent a fortune in negative ads, and, you know, he did nothing on turnout. Look what happened, right?
Right.
So that's what I'm saying is let's not get dispirited by, you know, the money on the other side. If we turn out and vote, you know, again, I don't believe every pundit storyline because there was no pundit that said Eric Cantor was going to lose, right?
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Goodbye. I love you. Okay.
Except for...
That's always a little scary when someone says, I have a picture of you and me.
Yeah, well...
That could mean almost anything.
Laura Ingraham was a pundit that says that Eric Cantor was going to lose.
All right. Glenn in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Glenn.
Hi, Stephanie. I think we should hold these right-wing pundits pretty much in criminal captivity, or pretty much just hold them accountable for trying to turn people against the government, federal agents. I'm talking specifically about the Las Vegas killers, mm-hmm. the two killers that shot the police officers and left the Don't Tread on Me flag, and, of course, the Clive and Bundy supporters, the people that went out there with guns aimed at federal troops.
Well, in the Vegas case, it's one and the same. He was a Clive and Bundy supporter that was out there, that was cheered on by Fox News and the Republicans, and right, and then, you know, ended up, as you say, murdering these two poor policemen in Las Vegas and putting a Tea Party flag on them. I mean, how much more, you know, how much more on the nose can you get? About
the way I see it is they're like a cult trying to, kind of like Charles Manson was back in the 60s and 70s. He pretty much got these people to follow him. He told them he was God and to do whatever he said to do. And that's pretty much what these gun people are saying now. They're all going to revolt against the government. Why? Just because you watch Fox News every day and don't get the right truth media? It's really funny. And that's why.
Yeah, and by the way, how quickly, if by some miracle, you know, Republicans take the White House and control the mm-hmm. Senate and the House, how quickly do you think that everyone's going to be really pro-government on the right-wing side, right?
We're going down. Yeah. Just like Sarah Palin said, we're going to go down if the Republicans take over. We've got to get the vote out. Thanks, Stephanie.
Yeah, thank you, honey. Appreciate it. All right. Yeah, right? Cover will be the best thing that ever happened when it's run by Republicans. By the way, did you see this?
What?
It's a little after story. The chaos that erupted after Cantor's concession speech by pro-immigration. He was probably like, oh, this is really... Oh. Chaos erupted. Oh, God, there's so many brown people here. I've got to get to Montauk quicker. Chaos erupted at the election headquarters shortly after he conceded. A group of immigration activists stormed the ballroom screaming and waving a flag. What do we want? Immigration reform? When do we want it now? A few Cantor supporters tried to block their entrance into the ballroom. Pushing and shoving ensued. Before they reached the microphone, one Cantor supporter threw a glass of wine on a female protester. Classy. Keep it classy, kids.
Great.
Right to the end. One Cantor supporter yelled, "Get a job," to an immigration reform supporter who was wrapped in an American flag. Isn't that spectacular? Because, see, that's exactly what they would just like, a job
right.
to support their family. Many of them already have them and are paying taxes.
Right.
They're supporting Eric Cantor's job.
Yep.
And,
they're paying taxes and not getting
right.
anything back for those taxes.
Right. And still living in the shadows.
Yeah.
And yet they're supporting. Can I get a job? See, because that's why they came here, to get a job to feed their family just like the rest of us. Oh, that is spectacular. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Citrix GoToMeeting, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online from anywhere. Start your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, use the promo code Stephanie, 50 minutes after the hour. Wow, that is the most random thing ever. We are going to miss. Natan is leaving after the show Friday. He's
That's
going
right.
off to grad school. What did he just say?
I was walking by and he said, "I was once in a barbershop quartet in Skokie, Illinois."
That is so
but he was
random.
Just quoting a movie.
Oh, you're quoting a movie. You weren't actually.
Yeah, okay. I was quoting Usual Suspects. Yes. But I'm like, wow.
You're like, what now?
What?
Okay. All right. By the by, this Sterling thing just gets...
Oh.
Shelley Sterling will take Donald Sterling to court to expedite the Clippers sale. NBA prepared to terminate ownership. So... Donald Sterling Monday and his lawyers announced he will sue the NBA and fight his estranged Shelley Sterling's attempted sale of the franchise to Steve Ballmer, later declaring himself a protector of American values, as you recall.
Do-do-do.
Oh, my God, look at Jackie Schechner peeking in the window, really in a creepy fashion. That is creepy. Look how creepy she is. Okay, she'll be in a second. Yeah, it's hilarious. One of the attorneys, though, goes on to explain that the Sterlings remain chummy despite their estrangement and harbored little hostility towards each other. These statements appear to be the best evidence yet. This family considers the courtroom to be a second home. Aw, this is like foreplay for them.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that awesome?
But I guess a doctor came out with a statement yesterday saying that he had examined Donald Sterling and says that he has a mild form of dementia. He doesn't know what season it is, and he can't spell the word globe backwards.
Boy. It's a hard winter we're having. These bitches be crazy, am I right?
Well, we live in Los Angeles. It's pretty much the same all year round. So,
my cartoon canaries have drifted over to the Sterling family. I don't know why. The girl made me say the things. Okay, let's go. Let's go to Kevin in Florida. Hey, Kev, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was listening to Media Matters this morning. And a woman came on from Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
She was actually a Democrat. She was trying to vote in the primary for some reason. And she said when she went to the vote, there was only two choices. There wasn't even a Democratic primary at the time. So the only choices when she went in were Cantor or this guy. Pratt, I believe his last name was. So there wasn't even a way to write in a candidate. So it was either you voted for Cantor or you voted for this guy Pratt. And she said, well, she wasn't going to vote for Cantor, so she basically voted for the lesser of the two evils, the person that wasn't his vote.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
That could have been part of his undoing.
Yeah, well, all I hope is the Republicans take exactly the wrong lesson from this whole thing and drag themselves further into disaster. Okay. So Chuck Hagel, of course, Defense Secretary.
Yeah.
Here we go, right? Everything is a hearing. Now, for the first time in history, a commander-in-chief called on the carpet to explain what he possibly could have been thinking in rescuing a prisoner of war, an American prisoner of war.
Never thought we'd get to this point.
He is telling a Congress that Qatar officials negotiating the release of Bo Bergdahl told the U.S. that time was not on their side and a leak about the exchange would end the deal. And very likely probably would have ended in Bo Bergdahl's death, and mm-hmm. then they had another whole template, and Chiron's ready to go for that.
Yep.
On how the president needs to be impeached because he got a U.S. soldier killed. He also said the five were the Taliban were enemy belligerents, but that had not been implicated in any attacks on the U.S. Chuck Hagel yesterday.
The president's decision to move forward with the transfer of these detainees was a tough call. I supported it. I stand by it.
He, by the by, said, I would never sign off on any decision I did not feel was in the best interest of this country, nor would the President of the United States, who made the final decision with the full support of his national security team. Chuck Hagel again.
This guy was held for almost 5 years in God knows what kind of conditions. We do know some of the conditions from our intelligence community, not from, by the way, Bergdahl. This is not just about can he get on his feet and walk and get to a plane.
He says Qatar has committed to adequate security measures that led him to decide the risks of the transfer were substantially mitigated. He said, as Secretary of Defense, I have the authority and responsibility to determine whether detainees at Guantanamo Bay can be transferred to the custody of another country. I take that responsibility damn seriously.
Yeah.
Jeff Miller, Republican Jeff Miller.
Yeah.
And Chuck Hagel yesterday.
You're trying to tell me that he's being held at Landstuhl, Germany because of his medical condition?
Congressman, I hope you're not implying anything other than that. The fact
I'm just asking the question, Mr. Secretary.
I'm going to give an answer, too, and
we'll
I don't like the implication of
answer
the question.
It.
By the way, just so you know who that guy is, Representative Jeff Miller, that guy, mm-hmm. Republican of Florida, he recently cited the extinction of dinosaurs as proof that man-made global warming was a hoax because he said there were no cars when there were dinosaurs. There were only the kind that Fred Flintstone drove with his feet.
Do they think we're idiots?
So there could not possibly be... No, it's quitting time. I got to slide down the dinosaur. Bye! Really? Does that qualify you from... You don't get to ask any questions, particularly the Secretary of Defense. Just shut up, you moron.
Yeah.
Okay. Chuck Hagel again, and Representative Mike Conaway, Republican of Texas.
I never said I don't trust the Congress.
Your
those are your words.
Your actions. No, no, no. Your actions.
No, I didn't say it. I said it.
Your actions demonstrate, Mr. Secretary, that you do not trust Congress because you wouldn't
now it's
tell
my
the
action.
Chairman and the ranking member something that, like this. Your actions say you don't trust Congress. I get it.
By the way, Chuck Hagel, former Republican, who now is clearly an enemy combatant.
Sure.
And must be treated like one. Okay.
I can't believe how poorly he was treated.
Okay. Representative Jackie Speier of California.
And I would just ask us to think for a moment how we would be responding if Bo Bergdahl was our son. I really fear for his return to this country with the kind of rhetoric that is being spewed in this very room.
Yeah,
bringing a little sense into that hearing room.
I thought of that about the suicide rate with among returning. And you think like, well, this guy survived what he's been through 5 years and come home and watch Fox News once and what they're saying about him and his family. Hillary Clinton, one last one.
These five guys are not a threat to the United States. They are a threat to the safety and security of Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Thank you,
mm-hmm.
thank you. All right, let's do a quick one here. Rob in Florida on the Cantor race. Hey, Rob, welcome.
Hey, thank you. I disagree with you on this no money behind mantra that they, I mean, no money for this Brett guy that beat Cantor. This guy's got more money than Cantor had altogether. If you want to put a price tag on the money that the Koch brothers bought for every radio station, if you want to talk about how much money they put into that university where he teaches economics, where he can't even answer a basic 101 question,
yep.
I mean, this guy is the Tea Party. This guy is the Koch brothers.
Well, I mean, it certainly does show the power of talk radio. So, I, you know, I and that's, you know, can be for good or ill, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that now they're trying to sell this notion, since Citizens United, that, see, money doesn't really corrupt. This guy won with no money. Well, that's not true. The money was spent.
Yeah.
The money's been spent for the past 20 years with these institutions.
Yeah,
the,
well, right, these right-wing corporations.
These other, you know,
right.
These right-wing think tanks.
Yeah.
This money has been spent on this guy, and it's coming back, and it's paying off for him.
Yeah.
And
well,
know,
and you're right. All these
dinners and
right.
How we beat this guy with nothing. The reality is he beat them with the Coke money's Coke parlor's money.
Yeah. Well, right. They are propping up the right wing radio shows and have like hundreds of them in the first place to put these people on, you know, and get behind whoever they
That's
want.
Right.
58 minutes after the hour, Jackie Schechner next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is. 6 minutes after the hour, why is it time to feel good? Well,
it's
look.
Shechner look. Again.
I think we should point the fan back at you because you look even more supermodel-y than usual.
I had that fan blowing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Hello, glamorous Jackie Schechner.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have big news. It is my mother's birthday today.
Happy birthday, yes. Mrs. Schechner. I've met your mom.
I know.
She is just as pretty and youthful as you are. It's Mrs. Schechner's birthday. Yeah. She is forever young. You know who sadly is not, because I know you are Emmy's mom. Emmy, your cat that lives in your sink.
Yes.
And is disgruntled when you want to use the sink because
it
is her.
It is her home.
Right. Poppy, the world's oldest cat, has left us.
Oh, no.
Poppy was looking a little rough.
Poppy didn't look like she wanted to be anywhere.
Oh, that's sad. But 24 is a good run for a cat.
She's looking a little Grizzabella, really, from cats.
Looks like she's been in a fight or two.
Poppy the cat died Friday.
Oh.
Just weeks after she was officially named the world's oldest cat by Guinness Book of World Records. So she
So
out.
There's that.
She was competitive. She's a competitive old bitch.
Which is long enough till I win that.
Yeah, Emmy's got to go to the vet today to get a checkup on something, and I'm not looking forward to it.
Uh-oh.
Because even though she has no claws and, like, two teeth, she is vicious.
Vicious. I don't understand how, because my ex's cat was really vicious, and I'm like, I do not understand how you get veterinary care, because I'm like, really? There is someone that will touch that cat for any amount of money? Because you're not going to come out of it alive.
It's terrifying. You need a cat whisperer. You really do. You need somebody who can calm her down. She attacked me once.
Right.
And we're about as close as you can get.
How? I don't understand. I actually always wanted to ask that. How do you administer veterinary care to cats that tend to be bitey?
In a very small room.
They take a towel. Wrap a towel around, and then you sometimes can use those gloves that you use for eagles. And
so it's like handling nuclear waste, same thing.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
An oven mitt, that works.
Yeah.
I mean, they're vicious.
A falconing glove.
Yeah, that's what it is, a falconing glove. My favorite is they're looking at her teeth and like, you know, we should clean them. Maybe some have to come out.
Both of them?
She doesn't have any left.
Yeah.
Oh, how old is she?
15?
Oh.
But she looks great. Come on.
Oh, she does.
She's no Poppy.
She's a superstar.
Right.
She's the Joan Rivers of cats.
She's had some work done?
All right. No. But she looks sprightly.
We saved a WTF Florida.
Ooh.
Oh, there's a new meme, right, on the interwebs?
Oh, no.
We shared it online on Twitter.
Yeah.
Chris shared it with me. It was a Florida woman, and there's a Florida man,
Florida man. Yeah, Twitter feeds.
Right. So every story on the feed starts with Florida woman, .. or Florida man.
Pimento loaf at car, you know, whatever.
Very proud of my home state.
WTF with Florida, Jackie.
What is it about Florida that creates that?
Can I have some dating game music?
Or is it just the redneckiness part
it's the panhandle.
Can I have some dating game music? Okay, because I would like you to meet Crystal Metheny. That's her real name.
Crystal Metheny is her real name.
From Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's
Ladies and gentlemen, allow us to introduce you to Ms. Crystal Metheny.
Oh, not married. A shock. That's not her stripper name. That's her real name.
That's her real name.
No, Crystal Metheny.
She's set up to succeed.
Oh, boy, you know, I don't know if that's the before and after Chris, but neither one.
Really? Yikes. Yeah. Okay. What happened?
Well, this woman from Polk County has the perfect Florida name. She was arrested back in early May. The charge shooting a missile into an unoccupied vehicle.
Pardon me. What kind of missile? Because anything can be a missile, really.
Doesn't say.
Huh.
See, also, Florida name man named Cocaine has drug charges dropped. So, there's a couple.
How's it spelled? With a K?
No, with a C.
Like it.
With a C. They could be a happy couple.
Really? I mean, your baby's born and you name her Crystal Metheny and you think she's going to be okay?
You think things are going to go well. Yeah. All right. So what should we start with today? Eric Cantor?
Sure.
Have we checked the Bitchface Tumblr?
Oh,
he must have gotten even...
Eric Cantor's bitchface.tumblr.com?
Bitchfacier than ever, I would imagine.
I mean, this has just such repercussions in terms of where the Republican Party is going to go.
Right?
And it's unfortunate because I think that, first of all, my first instinct was what was turnout. I mean, I did a search for that because I was curious how many people were talking about. And I think that's missing from a lot of the stories is how low these percentages are of turnout, which then encourages, I know you were talking about this earlier because I was listening on the way in, it's so important that people vote. I mean, this is what happens when people don't turn out. But the other problem is you have to look
and
at...
And money isn't everything.
No, and you have to look at the makeup of the district, too. I mean, that was the other thing that I took a look at. I mean, it is a predominantly white district.
Right.
What are you laughing at?
What?
There's a picture of Eric Cantor on the phone, and the caption is, "No, a gelato will not make it better. Maureen, chocolate chip."
By the way, Chris has been renamed by a caller, a beardy Google guy.
Why?
Tell the beardy guy to Google it for you.
Oh, the beardy guy.
Google guy. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
What was I saying?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, about the makeup of the district, right? It's a predominantly white district. It is, the median income, I think, is like 60 grand, mostly high school graduates, I think 30% college degrees. We're talking about a district, I would imagine, that it is aspirationally upwardly mobile and not as concerned about social services and any sort
Very suburban.
Right. And so I think that Bratt spoke to that more so than he spoke to maybe some of the needs of more urban constituents or some of the people struggling with unemployment right now or seniors. I mean, it just seems like perhaps he was speaking to the constituency of his district, whereas Cantor was speaking steak.
Right.
In D.C.
Yeah, lots and lots of steak.
Yes. So, I mean, that's part of it, right? I mean, he's speaking to people who speak his language. He's a professor. I would imagine that he has, although it's Randolph-Macon, but he's a...
Oh!
What was that?
That was a little Ivy League snipe.
Several people from my senior class went to Randolph-Macon.
No, I don't know anything about the school.
It's a very small liberal arts
school. Ooh, that was a little Penn girl tryout.
The school itself only has about 1,000
people. And she from one of the lesser Ivies. One of the minor Ivies, as Rush Limbaugh would say.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Von Seal in Asheville, North Carolina.
That was a problem. I'm sorry.
Good morning, everybody.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Bonjour. You were talking about Rush Limbaugh, famous college dropout?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, couple of things. I'm so sorry to spoil your fun, but you know the proper pronunciation of that name. And when you are named Von Seal, you are sensitive about these things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is Metheny.
Oh,
Crystal Metheny.
I'm so sorry. It kind of kills the joke. The guitarist, Pat Metheny.
Oh,
yes,
that's true.
Yes, you're right.
I'm sorry. I'm Debbie Downer today.
Whatever, joke killer.
The official pronunciation of Boehner is Boner, so whatever.
Yeah. And like I said, for joke purposes, it's much better, Metheny.
Yes, thank you very much. All right.
And since you're talking about cats, may I tell you that our cat Dinah spent 3 days in a tree last week?
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
It was awful. We had to get two arborists to get her down.
Did you try the hot fireman thing first?
Yes, of course. And guess what? In our county, they don't do that anymore.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine they would.
I don't understand
I even got in the car and drove down to the fire station to beg them or bribe them, and there was nobody there.
You couldn't bribe them
fire department.
With creme brulee?
I didn't have creme brulee at the time. Dinah is sort of my either Soon-Yi or sister cat wife, depending on your take on these things.
Okay.
My husband is hopelessly devoted to her.
Now, I'm not sure why you would get a tree specialist as opposed to a cat specialist to get
because
your cat.
Because the tree specialist can climb the tree, whereas the cat specialist can only speculate as to how and why she got up there.
Well, and there is no such, there is no such thing as a cat specialist because they are entirely unmanageable, and I don't understand the whole concept.
Is it weird to put your cat in the tree with the hope that a hot fireman will show up?
Well, no, that's not a good idea. And like I said, we took two because the first one we got was kind of a large guy. And he couldn't go high enough in the tree to catch her. That's how high up she was.
Because the branches get smaller.
It was a kind of a half-dead tree, and I think he would have just toppled it over.
That would have
gotten the cat down.
Thank you for joining this.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you for joining this segment of Weird Cat People. Bye-bye now.
I try to contribute. Love y'all.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye now.
I like weird cat stories.
All right, weird cat people, let's come back to the real world. So, I mean, that's been the, you know, the question is, how does this play out? Is this better for Republicans or Democrats? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, this would be good if we could get Democratic turnout now in that district.
Yeah.
And then we get the, I want to say Trammell, is that?
Trammell.
Right. The other professor who is his basketball buddy.
It's the nutty professor race.
Is the Democratic candidate.
They're both from Randolph-Macon.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's not a Democratic district.
Don't get her started.
No, stop.
I know, right?
I know. I'm sorry. I'm going to get bombarded with tweets from all 1,000 Randolph-Macon students.
We're going to hear from truckers that went to Randolph-Macon now after Carlos yesterday.
What did Carlos do?
Never mind. Don't start it again.
No, so, you know, maybe we get some Democratic turnout and you know, this draws the attention we need to that district.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the guess is that he would be a one-term congressman
of the Judy Tenuta School of Political Thought here. It could happen. It could happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine for 2 years, but it's such a red district that it would probably switch back at some point anyway.
Best may be off in politics after this thing. Let's see. Let's see what happens.
I mean, it seems to me there's so much conversation about immigration, and that's the D.C. Chatter, but I would agree with the people who said it was more about how out of touch Cantor was with his constituency.
Yeah. He seems so warm.
Yeah.
Really?
That particular district does not have issues with immigration.
That's
low on their
I mean, it came up, obviously, in the rhetoric, but I don't think that was the issue. Yeah. I would like to know how it was they thought that he was up 30 points and he lost by 11.
Yeah, a lot of people screwed up with polling.
Yeah, they. When you go, is it that Republican math that makes you feel better? Someone said. As Megyn Kelly said to Karl Rove on election night. Yeah.
Even PPP, and they tend to lean Democrat. They had him up 30 points.
Well, this makes my argument that polls are not worth anything. Because who answers the phone and takes a poll?
You know what this reminds me of? Our fabulously highly rated election night specials that we did on Current Television.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Those.
Do you remember that? We all cleaned up. We all cleaned up real nice.
Yeah, we did.
You didn't wear a hat.
No, I did
not. We had a tart off. Remember our tart off?
Yes. That's right. That could have been the ratings magic.
I think that's what it was.
I didn't contribute much on those. I seem to remember.
No, you're the beardy.
You were great. You showed your guns.
Kinda.
Yeah, you kind of do the same thing. You're just beefcake.
That's all I'm here for.
You're beardy, googly, flexy. Oh.
Can I tease my LaFemme Nikita complimenting my breast
story?
Oh, somebody very interesting told Jackie Schechner she had a nice rack, and we'll talk about that when we get back. That's what's called a tease, my friends. 18 minutes after the hour, we roll along with Jackie Schechner live in studio on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Jackie Schechner, Nurse Jackie, live in studio.
Yep.
Taking your healthcare questions if you want for Healthcare Corner. However, now look what's happened.
What?
Weird cat people. We've attracted more weird cat people. This is what happens. Rooney in Santa Fe, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
I'm Steph. Hi, Moog.
Hello.
I'm not a cat person. My brother lost his relationship because of cats.
Oh.
His long-term girlfriend had her precious cat just scale up a tree and be there for a few days. And after laments and frothy appeals trying to get the cat done, she kept saying, get the fire department, get the fire department.
Uh-oh.
And he finally let her call the fire department, and they said, hey, lady, how many cat skeletons have you seen in a tree? And so they never came, and that was the lesson. The cats come down.
Wow.
But how did she lose a relationship?
I lost the thread.
Oh, she was so mad that he didn't climb up the tree or cut the tree or do something. That he was completely nonplussed by the fact that the cat was in the tree. We're not a cat family. It wouldn't have worked.
We're not cat people.
Wow. You wanted for him to cut down the tree? Wow. Men are required to be Paul Bunyan? Yikes.
Are you on my La Femme Nikita?
Oh, yes, please. Go ahead. Yes.
So the story is that there is the woman who played La Femme Nikita, Peta Wilson,
right?
The TV version, now owns a lingerie shop in Venice, California.
Okay.
And we walked by it not knowing what it was or who she was. I was with a girlfriend of mine, and they recognized each other from an acting class. And she was so sweet and kind of bubbly, and was so excited about her lingerie that she designs herself that she said, come on in and try some bras on. And we felt like, oh, my gosh, she's so sweet. And we didn't know who she was at the time. We just kind of – I didn't, at least. So we ended up trying a bunch of bras on with her, and she was very sweet and very complimentary and told me that I had a nice rack.
A spectacular rack, as you do, as we all agree.
I then texted my boyfriend and said, guess who told me I had a nice rack? but she was super sweet, and it didn't even dawn on me kind of who she was and all of that. I guess Helene knew. And then we got outside, and I did the Google thing, and I was like, oh, my God, that's who that was.
Wow. Bra's not usually an impulse buy.
Yeah, no, and she makes these sort of fancy bras. The whole thing is that you don't need an underwire to push the girls up.
Really?
That it's structured in a way.
Wow.
So, okay. Who knows? They were very pretty.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
The girls. Okay.
The girls. the kids.
Small tots. Someone with an interesting tweet. Glenn Greenwald sells fear to privileged white people like Glenn Beck sells fear to underprivileged white people.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. This is the hour we make people mad.
Is there a story behind that, or is that just a headline?
No, that's just a tweet.
Just a tweet. Oh, wow. Since Jackie's here, I will do my I'll get a little feminist frenzy. It's yet another rapey guy.
Oh.
Yeah. Not a Republican candidate. Creation Today speaker. Who's this guy, Chris? Derek Isaacs.
I've never heard of him.
He's an anti-evolution guy.
Okay.
He recently read some books by purveyors of evolutionary thought. That crazy theory.
Was it a self-published e-book?
I'm pretty certain.
You can get it from my WordPress blog.
I think there's a copy on Friendster.
Yeah, you know that's a bad one. Where can you get it? You can't. Let's see. One of the questions he found himself asking is, if evolution is real, why can't it also be said that rape is wrong? After all, he argued, evolution is about the propagation of the species by any means possible, and therefore dominant males continue in species by grabbing whatever female he can get his hands on and impregnating them.
No.
So he's just saying, I'm just asking, is evolution is true, then is rape actually wrong?
That's not what evolution is about.
Computer says yes.
Yes, it is wrong in every case.
That is so strange.
How does one make that kind of leap?
Because he's saying that we can't exist as a moral species if evolution is correct, because it means that all men would be rapey.
But
whatever.
Evolution is about...
Or something.
Evolving.
Okay.
Yeah.
Being smarter than just grabbing whatever is within reach.
It's about mutations in genes that actually work out better, and so those mutations in the genes propagate.
Right.
But
we've evolved to a point where you don't just grab somebody
and have your way with them.
Do you think that men just collectively...
At least not without their...
Should just shut their pie holes about rape? Just don't...
Well, it's the same thing with...
Don't say anything.
Choice. You know, it's a lot of this, like... I don't have a very hard time with this. Like, unless you're going to get pregnant and give birth, I don't know that you have the right to tell me what to do with my body.
What his wife thinks about that?
Hey, here's another headline. GOP candidate supports stoning gay people to death.
Great.
Oklahoma. case you're wondering where. Oklahoma publication discovered Tuesday a candidate for the state legislature engaged in a Facebook conversation last summer in which he said gay people should be stoned to death.
Well, that's interesting.
Scott Esk, a self-described libertarian. I guess he doesn't want anybody, you know, regulated that might think it. I don't know, might be wrong in some way to stone gay people to death. Okay, so we'll...
What's the over-under before he comes out?
Yeah, I have the... We'll go through. I have the Facebook, Source of All Evil. Mm-hmm. Yep, I have it right here. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with Nurse Jackie and Jackie's Healthcare Corner and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, she's got freckles and braids and a bandage on her knee and a tooth out. And all the boys in the first grade are crazy about her.
I don't understand that. She sounds wild.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Jackie Schechner, newswoman, healthcare expert extraordinaire, live in studio with us. Please take your organ back out. So this guy, GOP candidate, supports stoning gay people to death. Scott Esk, self-described libertarian.
Yeah.
Right. He responded to another person's Facebook post in which Pope Francis asked, "Who am I to judge?" when referring to gay people. Esk at first quoted scripture, but when the original poster pressed him if he expressed support for a biblical law that says gays should be stoned to death. Let's see. The other guy said, "So to just be clear, you think we should execute homosexuals, presumably by stoning?" Scott Esk said, "I think we would be totally in the right to do it. That goes against some parts of libertarianism. You think?" I realize, and I'm largely libertarian, but ignoring as a nation things that are worthy of death is very remiss. When another poster further down asked her if he were really advocating stoning people, he responded, "I never said I would author legislation to put homosexuals to death, but I didn't have a problem with it."
Oh, jeez.
He just thought it'd be okay if people picked up rocks and threw them at gay people.
He also said he wasn't for hating people.
Oh.
You don't need to stone someone with hate in your heart, Chris. The reporter gave him another chance to walk back the comments, asking if he would show support, if he would support a stoning law. Were it ever to be brought up in the legislature, he said, "Well, what I will tell you right now is that it was done in the Old Testament under a law that came directly from God. And that was just that. I have no plans to reinstitute that in Oklahoma law." Phew!
But, you know,
I have some very huge moral misgivings about those kinds of sins, and I think those kinds of sins do not do our country any good.
Methinks thou doth protest too much.
Yeah.
That guy. Yeah.
And didn't, like, he's Christian, right?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, of course.
Didn't Jesus come down and kind of wipe out all of those Old Testament laws? Isn't that what happened in the New Testament?
I didn't. If it didn't say so on Facebook, then it didn't happen.
We'll ask John Fugelsang tomorrow.
Okay.
He'll be with us in the first hour tomorrow.
Okay. Jackie Schechner.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, I'm cheating with you with another newswoman tomorrow. I'm so sorry. I might as well tell you now.
Who?
Mei Li, my former Oxygen TV co-host.
Oh.
Formerly of CNN also, just like you are.
What's she doing now?
She is. She just moved back to L.A., and she's doing some other stuff right now.
Stuff.
We'll find out tomorrow.
Nice. I've met her. She's very sweet.
I met her
at one of your parties, I think.
She is adorable.
Oh, yeah. I think I met her at one of your parties. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
One of the half of them I come to.
Because you have to, because you're one of my paid friends.
Right.
Well, we split them. I come to the other half.
Right. Exactly.
And
yes.
I'm not even paying you anymore. You still show up.
I got a lot of free time. And you have free booze.
Oh, that's so sweet. Wow. That was really nice. Okay. Look at this. Obamacare has drastically cut the uninsured rates for blacks and Hispanics, just as it was intended to do. It is helping blacks, Hispanic, low-income Americans. The uninsured rate among blacks has tumbled 6.2 percentage points so far this year. The Hispanic uninsured rate fell 5.6 percentage points, and the white uninsured rate fell 3 points.
I just tweeted around an article yesterday. I think Sarah Cliff wrote it for Vox that Massachusetts uninsured rate is now down to about zero.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That, the Affordable Care Act filled in the gaps in Massachusetts. And now they've got a very, very, very low rate of uninsured people.
I think you're skipping the main thing that affects people's lives.
Hmm.
Benghazi. Fox News went to Hillary Clinton's book tour to ask people about
Benghazi.
Yeah, they visited. She was, doing a book signing. And they went to ask them, what about Benghazi? They were asked, I love this part, they were asked whether they watch Bill O'Reilly and how much Benghazi would hurt Clinton. One person they got on tape said, he asked if I watched Bill O'Reilly, and I said he was an idiot. Oh, Bill. Things often blow up in Bill's face, and he thought they were going to get some good stuff.
Jack Mayerhofer, Springfield, Massachusetts.
He often reads letters from people with prank names, and he doesn't even get it.
Dick Pinch, Clear Lake, Iowa.
All right. It's Hotel Fox Benghazi. And the light is always on.
Maybe somebody wants to explain to me why it is that Benghazi is important
at
this point to the American public.
It's not, except at Fox News.
Okay.
Hi, Roger Ailes from Hotel Fox. You know, the oldest adages are the best. And the one we like to live by here is the classic, there's a sucker born every minute. Now, it turns out the man who said that wasn't actually P.T. Barnum, but nobody remembers that. At Motel Fox, we really don't care who said what, just that there's a sucker born every minute. While you're traveling up and down your cable channels and want a nice, comfortable place to relax and not have your intellect challenged, remember, we have more suckers, that is, viewers, than all the other cable news circuses. And if you'll stop in this week, besides a bearded lady and a fat man, you'll find we'll give you twice the amount of Benghazi, all for no extra charge. So leave your troubles and your ability for critical thought at home and come to Motel Fox. We'll leave the right wing on for you.
Okay. Thank you. Bobby in Oregon, you're on with Jackie. Hi, Bobby.
Yeah, hi, Stephanie. Hi, Jackie. Hi, bearded Google guy.
Hey.
Hey, Stephanie, you asked the truck driver to blow his air horn for you yesterday. You want me to blow my air horn for you real quick?
Yes, yes.
Okay, just a second. Here we go.
I heard that.
Yeah, that was good.
Awesome.
It sounded sort of like a washing machine. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, Jackie, I work for a large trucking company. We got about 1,000 drivers, and they used to provide free health care for everybody that was there for 11 years or more. But they stopped doing that. They said the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare, doesn't allow them to do that anymore. And so now everyone that's been with the company for 11 years or more, we all have to start paying for our own health care again. They said that the Affordable Care Act, that if they provide free health care for one person, they have to do it for everyone. So they stopped doing that. And it just sounds like a load of crap.
Yes. Yeah, that's not in the law. Yeah, there's nothing in the law that says what an employer can or can't do with regard to providing health care for its employees or in terms of paying for premiums. So that's not part of the law.
And let me get this straight. They didn't give you health care until you were there 11 years?
No, you had to pay for it up until 11 years.
Oh, okay.
After 11 years, they pay for it, all of it for you for free.
That's weird. Yeah.
It sounds like a choice they made to cut down costs and has nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act requires
everybody.
Yeah, the Affordable Care Act requires that employers contribute to the cost of health care if their employees go out on the exchange. The idea being that taxpayers shouldn't subsidize the cost of health care when employers should contribute as well. But there's no requirement that they do or don't pay for your premiums. That's not part of the deal, or that they don't pay for your premiums. It's not part of the deal.
See, and they tell everybody, oh, blame Obama. The owners are very religious, very Republican, and they're like, oh, blame Obama. So now everybody hates Obama because they have to start paying for their health care again.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they should do some research because it's not part of the law. And I say to people, like, the law's online, and if you don't want to read through it because it's long and tedious, go and find any of these websites. Healthcare.gov has a lot of good explanations. Obamacare Facts has a lot of good explanations. The Kaiser Family Foundation has a lot of good explanations. I mean, there's a lot of websites.
You don't understand. The owner is very, very Christian.
Yeah. There's a lot
and
of
he's just emulating Jesus, who said those poor people and their health care.
There's a lot of resources out there. Do a little bit of homework, and you can find out. And I understand if somebody says something. Here, do you want me to read this?
Yes, please.
Email that came in?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's from Lynn Sweets, or Suits, I guess it is, Suits.
Okay.
And it says, Dear Jackie, Blue Care Network of Michigan raised premiums 9.9% and also put in place a $1,000 a person deductible. Premiums are based on age, which means an employee 25 years of age is 3 times less expensive than an employee in their 50s. During the presentation of benefit changes, everyone yelled out, "Thanks, Obama." What's going on? Ageism is against the law. This is so disappointing. Well, what's interesting here is the law is actually helping you. First of all, the raise in premiums is coming from the insurance company, not from the Affordable Care Act. That is totally their decision on their own.
Right.
If they want to put a deductible in place, they're welcome to do that. Again, it's all private insurance, so it's controlled by the insurance companies, not by the Affordable Care Act. And actually, you're lucky that there's a cap of three times because, and if you go to, for example, AHIP, which is the health insurance plan lobbying website, they talk about how the average difference is 5 to 1 between older people and younger people, and that the Affordable Care Act puts a cap of 3 to 1. So actually, this 3 to 1 age rating is a benefit. We're actually stopping the insurance companies from charging 5 times as much, 6 times as much, 7 times as much. It's not ageism because older people, on the whole, tend to use more health care than younger people on average. The idea is that you're balancing out over the larger population. But the 3 to 1 is actually a cap, because it's been much more than that in the past. When the insurance companies are allowed to do whatever they want, the age rating is exorbitant. So 3 to 1 may sound like a lot, but it's actually a lot better than it used to be, and it's a good part of the law that's in place to protect you.
Okay. We interrupt this very, very smart, informational, fascinating segment on healthcare to tell you about a giant, massive sea creature that just ate a great white shark. Look at that.
There's a segue for you.
Okay. How can you ignore this story? You can't. There's a massive sea creature somewhere that ate a 9-foot great white shark.
What do you mean somewhere? Let us know where it is so we can
Who
avoid that.
Who knows where it is? Oh. Film 11. Could something, be in your refrigerator.
Something in your refrigerator can kill you.
Right. There's a new documentary called Hunt for the Super Predator. It investigates the disappearance of a great white shark. Went missing. Australia.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
In Australian waters. Data revealed the shark was ingested by a larger animal. Where is Ian Ziering? The question that not only came to my mind, said one of the researchers, but everyone's mind was what did that? It was obviously eaten. What's going to eat a shark that big? What could kill a 9-foot great white shark, the likely candidate? A colossal cannibal great white shark. Shark. Yes, it really exists, and it is not some sort of Sharknado-style ungodly horror that Sci-Fi Channel has cooked up. These gigantic creatures around 16 feet long weigh over 2 tons.
Oh, my God.
I want to go back to cats and trees.
Yeah, cats and trees don't eat me.
Okay, I don't. You know what? Let's just forget you said that. Okay. 40. Booga, booga, booga. Let's Wait, shake it off, everybody.
Only you went there.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour.
I'm still working on getting there.
Back with the remaining moments with Nurse Jackie on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
They call me her. They call me
Stephanie Miller.
That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. They call me her.
Whoever tweeted that is correct. Everything in Australia will kill you.
Yep.
Everything is too bitey.
Everything there is poisonous and has teeth.
Right. Exactly. Too much teeth. Too much teeth. Too bitey. It's too bitey. Leave them. All right, 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Oh, we have a seminary student who has an answer to your question. Chris in Chicago, you're on with Jackie. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Jackie.
Hi.
Chris, how are you guys today?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. We finally got some sunny weather out here in Chicago.
Yay.
What's up?
So, Matthew chapter 20, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
And if you do these things, you will fulfill all of the laws and the prophets.
There you go.
Okay.
You do the, everything in the Old Testament for Christians should be summed up into those two commandments right there. And
So you're saying we should not stone gay people to death like the Republican candidate in Oklahoma?
We should not stone gay. And I, you know, Paul
just because it's impractical.
Talking about that. Well, I mean, you never run out of stones, but.
All right.
But you know, biblically speaking, homosexuality is not a sin in the Bible, and mainstream biblical scholars supports that. But there's not enough people talking about it. And as a Christian and a future pastor, that really presses. me.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I wanted to call in, and you know, for your future reference, there's just nothing in the Bible that supports that. And two, the main tenet of Christianity is to love your neighbor and love your enemy. You know, they ask in the Bible, who is my neighbor? It's the Samaritan. It's the person that you hate more than anything in the world.
Yep, yep. All right, honey, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why
gay sex is only dirty if you're doing it right.
Okay. No, I don't understand why there's so much hatred. I mean, that's exactly what Chris was saying. I mean, I thought the tenets of Christianity were about being good to each other.
Exactly.
and kindness and charity and generosity and loving your neighbor and all of that
right.
good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like the foundation of this fundamental Christian, the fundamentalists.
Yeah,
there you go.
Are fundamentally... Hateful?
Yeah, it's a negativity. It's not a positive lift your neighbor.
Well,
it's
you know,
let's
well,
chastise
I
and condemn.
I think he said he is against hating. So he's just saying you don't need to stone a gay person to death with hate.
No, you can do it with kindness.
Right. Okay.
You know, there are people on the far fringes of every religion.
He's got a bumper sticker that says stone with a smile.
Yeah.
Okay, Chuck in Minneapolis, you're on with Jackie. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, boy, I love tuning in on Thursday and seeing Jackie and
right.
during the week a lot, and on Thursday at the third hour, I was
mm-hmm.
tuning in.
Yeah.
I'm blushing, thank you.
you're beautiful. And I like Florida girls, you're wonderful. Anyway,
you like a little crazy.
Hey, Sanibel, rules. Some of us cat lovers, Stephanie, love you so much that we've included a Stephanie Miller meme in our cat's name.
Uh-oh.
Our cat is Thylacoleo carnifax Louise Kitty.
Oh.
There's a picture of him along with the cut line with his name in our newspaper. I'll email it to
you.
Oh,
cool.
Thank you. That's so touching.
Aww. Keep it up. Love you.
Middle name Louise.
Oh, isn't that precious? Well, because you need to say that because they've always done something wrong.
Yes. Stephanie Louise Miller.
Right. Why is my arm bleeding again? Kim in Ohio. You're on with Jackie. Hello, Kim.
Hi. Before I forget, I'm supposed to announce that I'm KT in the chat room. I got...
Oh.
Ripped over the coals for not doing that last
Woot. Time. Go ahead.
I wanted to let you know I donated $25 a month for the next year.
Thank you. To Free Speech TV. Hooray. Thank you. Go ahead.
And I wanted to thank Jackie for announcing her mother's birthday. I didn't realize that I shared a birthday with her mom.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
George Bush Senior.
Well, that's okay. That's better than Junior. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday.
Junior too, but I don't share his birthday thing.
All right.
Junior was bad enough. But
all right. Is that it, or do you have a healthcare thing?
No.
That was it. Okay. All right. Happy birthday.
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Hi, Brian. You're on with Jackie.
Hey. Sorry to get off topic again with the medical thing, but I have a cure for foxitis with people in truck stops because you've probably been told, like, I'm a truck driver and a lot of them show Fox News almost perpetually.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I've asked in the past, can you please change the channel? They said no. It's called an investment in something called a universal remote control. And I've done this one a couple times in the truck stop. I asked them, could you please change the channel? I said, no, sorry, we don't know how. I said, oh, you don't. I do. And there's nothing funnier than watching eyes and heads shift around trying to find out what happened, why the channel changed, what happened.
Why does it not surprise me that Fox News viewers are so dumb they don't know how to change the channel?
What do you mean?
My boyfriend...
It requires an opposable thumb, first of all. You gotta...
Yeah.
My boyfriend's father is a big Fox News watcher, and he often falls asleep in front of the television.
Right.
So when we were at the house, we changed the channel to MSNBC while he was sleeping.
Right.
And he woke up about an hour later and came outside and said, gosh, I haven't slept that well in so long. He said, well, because they weren't yelling at you for an hour.
Right.
And he said, you changed the channel?
Unless Al Sharpton came on.
Now, what are you talking about?
Well, Fox News people are famous for not changing the channel. In fact, you know the little bug they have in the bottom corner of their screen?
Mm-hmm.
That used to get burned into people's televisions, so they had to make it spin and move every once in a while.
Really?
Because people left Fox News on for so long.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That is fascinating.
Well, you know.
And terrifying.
Yes, it is.
I could always, when I would go, you know, visit my mom, or like we met once at a Sexy Liberal, so we were staying in the same hotel.
Right.
That's how I found a room. It was the one that had Fox News
blaring.
Right. I was like, oh.
Do they require like you to it was my listen to it that loud?
Republican mom GPS. I'm like, yep, there's the room. Andy in Arizona, you're on with Jackie. Hi, Andy.
Hi there. How you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I was listening to your guest who was commenting on the Affordable Care Act, the effect of the age rating ban, which reduced it down to 3-to-1. You know, I understand what she's saying, that it was beneficial, but it's really only beneficial for people who are older. Basically, the law says that you can charge older people no more than 3 times what you charge younger people. So the effect of it was prices were lower for old people, but the net effect is that prices had to come up for younger people to pinch them together and cover the cost across the board.
Yeah, I mean, the idea was that getting more people into the pool was going to bring down costs altogether, and that's the general idea behind it. I mean, yeah, the idea is that younger people would have a little bit of a higher premium in some cases, but we have to keep in mind that this is all coming from the insurance industry.
Right.
I mean, this isn't, if we're going to try and get...
Well, I mean, you're positioning it as if the insurance companies are gouging people whenever they get the opportunity, but profit margins for insurance companies on the whole have been no more than 5% over the last, 8 or 9 years. The evidence isn't there that the insurance companies are gouging people. All insurance is trying to predict how much healthcare costs are going to
All right, go ahead. We have like 20 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know why people defend the insurance industry.
Right, I don't either.
Sorry, we'll just leave that there. That's like a little stink bomb that it is. We love you, Jackie Scheckner.
I love you guys, too. This is fun.
Yeah, twitter.com/Jackie Scheckner.
Do it. Oh, she has a great picture of her and Fred. She's going to tweet.
Yep, All right. She already did.
Okay, we'll see you
I'm
tomorrow.
I'm like that.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.